Psalm 7, this is the reading of God's Word. O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me. Or he will tear my soul like a lion, dragging me away while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse yourself for me. You have appointed judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples encompass you, and over them return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. He travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit around and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, grant us an ear to hear your word. Bless us that we may hear and understand and believe and obey your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with him. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and that your Son, Jesus Christ, will be proclaimed. We thank you and we love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we come back to Psalms, and today we're looking at Psalm 7. And if you look at the title of this psalm, you will see a word, Shigeon. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it says a Shigeon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. Obviously, according to that title, this psalm is of Psalm of King David. The word Shigeon, we do not know the exact meaning of this word, but we find the plural form of that word in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigeonoth. Like I said, we don't know the exact meaning, but the word might mean a song or a wandering song or a meditation, a wild, passionate song with rapid changes of rhythm. And this person that we find in the title, Cush, other than what is said here that he is a Benjamite, we do not know anything about him. But if we read this psalm, we are able to find out that this person persecuted King David, and he plotted to injure David with lies. So we start with verse 1 and 2, and we just don't have much time to look at these verses, one verse at a time. And, you know, I'm trying to make my sermon shorter these days. So we'll go through very briefly, but even that will take some time. Verse 1 and 2. O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue me, and deliver me, or he will tear my soul like a lion, dragging me away while there is none to deliver. David is persecuted by his enemy. His enemy will tear his soul like a lion, but David flees to God. He takes refuge in God. And he says, O Lord my God, from this we are able to see that David is in covenant relationship with God. Thus, he entrusts himself completely to God. He knows and believes that only God is able to deliver him. And you and I, we are the same. To whom can we go if not the Lord our God? Verses 3 to 5, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. And let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Here we are able to figure out from these verses what his enemy is saying about King David. If I have done this, if there is an injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend, if I have plundered my adversary, then obviously, he is saying that he did not do any of these. But if I have done these, then, verse 5, let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. He's saying, I will gladly receive the judgment if I have done these things. Like he says, he did not do any of these things. Here we see his righteousness. But we have to remember, it is a typological righteousness. Just like what Paul has said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Paul says he's blameless. But only to the righteousness which is in the law. What is he saying? For example, Moses has to bring charges against you when you do against the law. But when he does that, he cannot look into your heart. He cannot judge your heart. He could only judge the outward behavior. So as long as your outward behavior is according to the law, and even when your heart is evil at the same time, he has to say, you're righteous. He cannot punish you. When it comes to the New Testament, Bible tells us that now the Holy Spirit judges our heart. That's why, according to that, no one is righteous. But here, David is speaking of this typological righteousness. Thus, the judgment of verse 5 is also a typological judgment. He says, I'll be gladly receiving that judgment. He's not talking about the final eternal judgment that he's glad to receive. No. A typological judgment. Verse 6 and 7, Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse yourself for me. You have appointed judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples encompass, I couldn't say that word for last two worships. You know what I'm reading. And over them return on high. Arise, O Lord, and judge my adversaries. Psalm 76, verse 8 and 9, you caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the humble of the earth. See, David says that God has appointed judgment. See, David is not just asking God to, or desiring God to bring judgment, but he is certain of God's judgment. He has appointed the judgment. Yes, God will judge this world. Verses 8 and 9, the Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteousness. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. As you could see from these verses, that David is not fearing the judgment of God. He says of his own righteousness. But you need to understand, it's a typological righteousness. Because God has taught his people, even from the Old Testament, that there is no one who is truly righteous in God's sight. Even in among Psalms, there are many verses I could bring to you that says that there is no one who is righteous, truly righteous. Psalm 130, verse 3, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Obvious answer is no one. Psalm 143, verse 2, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. Psalm 53, verse 3, every one of them has turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. But we are learning the principle from these verses, the principle of the righteous will not be judged by God, and he will be vindicated by God. Yes. If you're truly righteous, you will be vindicated by God. I will say more later, but you and I, we don't have our own righteousness, but we do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. Verse 10, my shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. David says God is his shield. Verse 11 through 13, God is a righteous judge and God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. God is angry over sin every day. Some people are mistaken that God is a jolly God who is happy even when they do not repent of their sins. That is not what the Bible teaches. God will judge the unrepentant sinner. Verse 14, behold, he travails with wickedness and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. The wicked will always sin against God. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of evil treasures, bring forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. See, a good tree will bear good fruits. Good tree will not bear bad fruits. And bad fruits definitely will not bear bad tree will not bear good fruits. So if you have evil heart, then you cannot bear good behavior, good works. Unless God gives you new heart, unless He changes your new heart. So it's not so much of we teach the person who has an evil heart to do good. It will not succeed. Unless you change the definition of good to worldly standard. No. Sin is anything that disobeys, and even in obeying, not obeying perfectly the word of God. See, usually in the world, let's say we're talking about a Buddhist. We're not going to consider a Buddhist an evil person. Because in worldly standard, that person is better than Christians sometimes. But God says, have no gods apart from me. And obviously that guy has worshiping different God. So he is evil according to standard of God. But morally speaking, he's not evil. But we have to understand biblically. You cannot understand according to the world and thinking that you understand the truth. So, bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Unless you're given the new heart that will obey God, you will never obey God. And repentance is a true good fruit that the Christians bear through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Verses 15 and 16, he has dug a pit, this evil person, and hollowed it out, and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. Ultimately, they will be destroyed by their own evil schemes, but until the eternal judgment of God, this principle cannot be seen clearly in this world. Because if you look at this world with your physical eyes, evil people seem to do very good. But you wait until the day of the judgment. They will be judged. God will judge this sinful world. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Revelation 6, verse 16 and 17, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, this is the day of the judgment, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? We come to the last verse, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. At the last judgment, we will praise our God and give thanks to him. God will save his people and he will judge this sinful world. Well, let's understand what this psalm is saying. First of all, we need to understand that this psalm is a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who is truly righteous in God's sight. There's no one righteous except Jesus Christ. So he is the only one who is able to sing this psalm. as his own. David is asking God to bring judgment upon his enemies. But if David is crying out to God, bring judgment upon sinners, and he himself is a sinner, why is that a good thing for David? Because he is included in that judgment. So he cannot sing this psalm apart from Jesus. So we have to understand that this psalm is, first of all, is a psalm of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is truly be able to sing this psalm to God. Because he is the only truly righteous in God's sight. And when he lived his life here on earth, so many of his enemies lied against him and plotted evil against him and tried to kill him. And he was persecuted throughout his life. But he never asked the Father, why am I going through this so much suffering? He completely trusted his Father and entrusted himself to the Father and obeyed the Father to the point of death. He bore our sins and suffered and died for us. He truly suffered and died unfairly. And yet, he did not complain at all. He loved us. And even when he was dying on the cross, he was dying willingly. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 and verse 21 through 24. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. But this world is all about finding rights. I want my rights. Jesus Christ never sought his rights. I mean, if you could find a verse that shows that Jesus was seeking his right, any verse, let me know. The world will never understand this. But it says, this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For you have been called for this purpose, he says, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. You know, things like, do you know who I am? He never said anything like that. But kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. Jesus is the only one who is able to say, verse 8b, vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. See, King David cannot truly say, vindicate me according to my own righteousness. Oh, then he will be judged. Because he is not righteous. But only Jesus is able to say this without any contradiction in his heart. And yet, Jesus received the judgment that the sinners deserve. The judgment that we deserve. He was judged on the cross because he was bearing our sins. But instead of complaining, he always praised his Father and gave thanks to his Father. He obeyed the will of God that only at the end God will judge the world through him. But brothers and sisters, this becomes the gospel, good news, because in Christ, this is our psalm. We too will be persecuted and suffer in this world because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We will be unfairly treated. And if you don't believe what the Bible says, go out and tell everyone what you truly believe. What the Bible says, you say, I believe that. You will be persecuted. You cannot say. And all the hatred will come towards Christians one day. It will. Because this world hates Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from sin and from this world. He has accomplished for us the eternal heavenly reality. Yes, we suffer in this world, but we also have another reality that we possess in Jesus Christ, the heavenly one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, to this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. How could non-Christians, how could the world accept this kind of statement? Scums of the world we have become. But we have another reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7-10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted. See, that's one reality, this worldly reality. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 through 10, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. Worldly reality is that we are deceivers because we say nonsensical things. And yet, we tell the truth. So, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known by God, as dying and behold, we live. Yeah, it seems like we are sick, we have all kinds of diseases, we are Christians, doesn't, you know, always have good health, and yet we live forever. As punished, yet not to put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, rich spiritually, of course. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. It seems like I don't have much. And according to people who have so much, I do have nothing, and yet I have all things in Christ. I have God Himself as my eternal inheritance. Let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and His heavenly kingdom. This is why Paul says, Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Ah, Christian, You guys are full of nonsense. This is why God now says in the New Testament, until Jesus' return, we are called to love even our enemies. We do not call to God to bring judgment upon evil people. No, we pray for them and we love them because of what Christ has done, because of what we already possess in Jesus Christ. Of course, we will sing exactly this psalm when Jesus is returned. When he returns, he will bring judgment upon his enemy, and we will praise him for that. But not until then. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's judgment, righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. See, the persecutions and sufferings, it's proving you to be worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering for kingdom of God. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. On that day, you and I will rejoice as we see God's righteous judgment. Without Jesus Christ, if we sing this song, if we call out to God to bring judgment upon sinners, then we are calling out to God to bring judgment upon ourselves. We cannot sing this psalm apart from Christ, because we are not righteous. David is bringing condemnation to himself if he did not have this faith in coming Lord. And obviously David is a believer. He sings this psalm in terms of Jesus Christ who is coming. And you need to understand how we are to read the Old Testament. You don't just read this psalm and you just put yourself in the righteous shoes and thinking that you're righteous and you could call upon God to bring judgment upon the evil people as if you are not evil. Only in Jesus Christ we are able to sing this psalm. Otherwise, it's not good for us. But there are people who put themselves in the righteous shoes, truly thinking they're righteous, and they don't even think about Christ. They did good things. So God loves them. Even though he says, God is angry every day that these people who are not repenting of their sins. Our sins have been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his righteousness has been imputed to us. And God has called us righteous in his sight in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus is everything for us. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Thus, we cry out, verse 8, vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. I am able to say this in Christ because the righteousness that I have, it was not mine. It was Jesus' righteousness, but through my faith, it was given to me. Now it is mine. So I am able to sing this psalm. I am able to sing verse 8, vindicate me according to my righteousness and my integrity. And there is no contradiction in my heart because of Christ. Because what I am saying actually is, vindicate me, O Lord, according to Jesus' righteousness and his integrity that is in me. Verse 9 says, for the righteous God tries the heart and minds. If God searches your heart, what will he find? Good or evil? Of course he will find evil in my heart. Then how can I sing this? In Christ. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16b says, but we have the mind of Christ. When he changed my mind, when he changed my heart, he gave new heart, but that was mind of Christ. And you will clearly see that I have mind of Christ when we go to heaven. But even now, mind of Christ is given to me. So when God searches my heart, he's searching the mind of Christ. Oh, he will find good. So I'm not afraid to sing this. I could say to God, search my heart. Oh, I know he will find evil. But the judgment at the end, he will find good because he will search the mind of Christ that I possess. Do you understand? Without Christ, we cannot sing this song. This song cannot be ours. We cannot even say these things to God because we just condemn ourselves. But in Christ, we say all these things to God, and there's no contradiction. There's no fear. This is the blessing that we have. We live by faith that God has given to us. The Holy Spirit works in us to repent of our sins to God. We live waiting for Jesus Christ. We live waiting for his return to judge this world. Until that day, no matter what sufferings, what persecutions that we must endure, we don't complain. We don't ask God to bring judgment upon anybody who makes my life miserable. No, I already know what God has given me. I already know what God has accomplished for me. So without any complaint, we give thanks to him. We praise our God. Lord Jesus, come quickly. No matter what circumstance that we find ourselves in, we have nothing to complain because we have already seen what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let me end with this. Being able to welcome God's coming. Being able to welcome his coming to judge the world. That is the true blessing. You know, I talk with some Christians. They don't want Jesus to come today. They're afraid. Or they love this world so much they don't want to let go. They don't want Jesus to come tonight. But if you're welcoming Jesus, his judgment even, Because you know you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God will vindicate you according to His righteousness. There is no fear. You welcome His coming. That's why the Bible ends with, "Come, Lord, quickly." You are truly blessed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the righteousness that He has given to us. Oh Father, you will vindicate us according to His righteousness and His integrity that is in us. We praise you. We give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.